In the new book, Rosemary, The Hidden Kennedy Daughter, historian Kate Clifford Larson reveals the story behind what Kennedy matriarch Rose Kennedy herself called the first Kennedy tragedy. A tragedy that, in fact, led the family to one of its greatest missions. The only Kennedy biography to view the family through the lens of its little-known daughter, Rosemary, opens an extraordinary new window onto America's most famous dynasty. Joe and Rose Kennedy's beautiful daughter, Rosemary, attended the most prestigious schools, was presented as a debutante to the Queen of England, and traveled the world with her high-spirited sisters. Yet Rosemary was intellectually disabled, a secret fiercely guarded by her powerful and glamorous family, out of fear that it would threaten family aspirations. Again, the name of the book is Rosemary, The Hidden Kennedy Daughter, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Kate Clifford Larson to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure.
Thank you.
What brought you to this story of wanting to tell the story of Rosemary?
Well, I had read her obituary in the Boston Globe back in January of 2005, and it just hit me that I knew so little about this woman, and it just seemed, the little bit that was in the article, that it was a heartbreaking story, but also it left me with some questions. And as a historian who specializes in women's lives, I became very intrigued, and I decided, you know, after I had finished the book that I was working on at the time, to start investigating Rosemary's life. And it didn't take me long to become completely fascinated by her and also to sort of fall in love with her, because there was so much we didn't know. And what I was finding was, you know, this great story about an adorable child and a lovely young woman whose life took a tragic turn.
In researching the subject, how much was out there? Was there more than you would have imagined, or was it really a fight all along to find information about Rosemary?
It was both. I was fortunate to start the project just after the John F. Kennedy Library here in Boston had opened some of the family records, including Rose Kennedy's collection of papers and diaries had just recently been opened. And then over the years, Rosemary's father's papers have slowly been opened more and more on a regular schedule. So it was like the timing was perfect. And in those collections of papers were many documents related to Rosemary, her care, the problems that they were running into trying to find resources to educate her, and they were clearly looking for a cure for her, which was not possible, and also Rosemary's own letters to her parents, because she had been shipped off to boarding school at the age of 11. So the collections had these beautiful, adorable letters from this young girl who was just incredibly lonely and sad, missing her family.
I used the term in the introduction, and it was the term used at the time, which was intellectually disabled. What does that mean, and what do we know about it now?
Well, the term that they used at the time was mental retardation, which is not a word that
right.
we use anymore. As you said, intellectually disabled. And we know, you know, there are many reasons why a child might be born with intellectual disabilities. And at least in my research, it became apparent after reading many interviews and using Rose Kennedy's own words from her memoir, it appears that it was possible that during Rosemary's birth, she had deprivation of oxygen because the nurse that was attending the birth, it was a home birth, held Rosemary back in the birth canal until the doctor could get there. He was running late. And those couple of hours certainly were damaging to Rosemary. And so I'm thinking that it was lack of oxygen that contributed to her intellectual disabilities as a growing child and adult.
I want to talk about some of the difficult aspects of her life, but we just had Patrick Kennedy on talking about his new book and about his relationship with his father, Ted Kennedy. And he talks about the Kennedy Code, about how much in dealing with alcoholism and addiction and mental illness, that there was that Kennedy Code that he could not break. And when he broke it, he got into trouble.
Right.
And in reading this book, you see that, don't you? You see almost the creation of that code.
Absolutely. You know, in a way, I'm so grateful that Patrick Kennedy has come out at this same moment, because that Kennedy code is very real. It's powerful. What I did not understand is that it was so powerful that it really restricts the family members themselves, even those that want to speak out. And in doing my research, it's clear that Joe and Rose set that path for the entire family very early on. You don't talk about anything personal in the family. You certainly don't talk about anything improper in the family. And with Rosemary, it was a lifetime of trying to keep first her disabilities, then her mental health issues, and then her lobotomy secret from everybody. And Joe and Rose kept a lot of that secret from Rosemary's own siblings. They said that they didn't know where she was for many years, and most of them didn't see her for 20 years, at least some of them even longer than that. So that's a powerful, powerful culture in a family, and I would imagine it's very hard to break that kind of legacy.
You see in the book that you write that the tension really started to grow as Rosemary starts entering her teens. By the time she goes from young girl to her teen years, there really is a palpable tension as she is going into her young adulthood.
Right. Rose and Joe are incredibly frustrated that she is not progressing in school like they hope that she would. They're still sort of in denial that she has intellectual disabilities. Well, at the same time, they're recognizing that, so they ship her off to all these different schools and to keep her away from the family and from the public eye. But they were disingenuous with some of the schools they sent Rosemary to. They didn't tell the teachers or the directors of these programs that Rosemary had intellectual disabilities. They just hoped that somebody would take care of her and keep her busy and keep her out of the way, which was really tragic. But as she aged and she became more and more beautiful, she wanted to have a social life like her siblings and some of her friends at these schools that she was sent to, and that posed problems for the family because they didn't want anyone to know that she had these disabilities. And then out of frustration, she begins to act out. It appears that she starts having some mental health issues, and Joe and Rose become more and more desperate and also a little bit more duplicitous in their behavior towards Rosemary and the people that they hired to take care of her.
They become desperate and they subject her to a variety of medical treatments. And you touched on this a moment ago, but under a mistaken belief that she could be cured. They believe that to a certain extent, to a point, that she could be cured.
Right, they did. I mean, they had her receive injections of hormones, and, you know, because some of these records are closed, some of it deals with her health care, and that's under the law today. I can't view medical records. You know, I just can try to surmise or imagine what they were trying to subject her to cure her. And that pressure on Rosemary constantly to perform and do better and do better and do better, it just was sort of, it was heartbreaking and probably debilitating to Rosemary.
Of course, this leads to a prefrontal lobotomy in 1941. She was forced to undergo this procedure. She's just 23 years old. The thing that you say in the book, which just blew my mind, was, because I knew about lobotomies, but at the time she had her lobotomy, this was a practice that had only been done really a handful of times, around 100 times.
Right, right. There were fewer than 100 that had been done, and she was one of those 100. And it is shocking to me that Joe and Rose allowed this to happen. Well, certainly Joe, I know Rose was aware of it. She claims she did not give her permission. I have to go on her word, but I'm not quite sure about whether she was accurate in that assessment. But at any case, Joe, he was a really smart man. He didn't just go and hear Doctors Freeman and Watts, who were performing those lobotomies here in the United States. They were experimenting, basically. He didn't just take their word for it. I know he researched the procedure. And at the time, the American Medical Association was warning against these operations, saying that there hadn't been enough research, that it wasn't a good idea, the outcomes were not that great. But in spite of this, Joe went ahead, and doctors Freeman and Watts were touting the success of their operations, but their own research papers showed that most of their patients did not end up in a good place after these lobotomies.
How soon after the procedure did they realize that a horrible mistake had been made?
It was immediate.
Yeah.
During the operation, I think the doctors knew they had gone too far, and she emerged from the surgery unable to speak, walk, eat by herself, dress herself. She had to be totally retaught everything. And as a result, she was permanently physically disabled. She walked with a limp, and her limbs, she had difficulty with them, and her speech was greatly diminished. She eventually could speak in a few phrases and a few words, but she couldn't carry on a conversation with anybody ever again.
What was her relationship with her siblings?
I think it was a great relationship as a child. They loved her deeply. They had been raised to accommodate her disabilities and include her in everything that they did. She loved them deeply, and I think that that is the great legacy of what happened to Rosemary, that her siblings missed her, were confused about what happened to her, were not informed, most of them anyway, what happened to her. And it affected them so that they went on to be tremendous champions of people with disabilities. Of course, Eunice was the closest to Rosemary and probably really was deeply affected by what happened to her. And she went on to found the Special Olympics. She encouraged her brother Jack as president to move forward and sign legislation to help people with disabilities and their families. And so did Teddy. He was responsible for the Americans with Disabilities Act, several health care acts. Lots of legislation and organizations have come about in the past 50 years because of these Kennedy siblings who were deeply, deeply moved by what happened to Rosemary.
After the lobotomy, she is pretty much put into an institution. And with this, because this is all happening as the family is becoming more and more political, and they have political aspirations, and she is sent away to a private institution where the public and her family cannot see her.
Right.
For how long did that occur?
I think that the siblings did not see her, most of them, for 20 years or more. Jack went and saw her secretly in 1958 when he was on the campaign trail for the presidency, and he visited her in Wisconsin. And so that is the first known visit of one of the siblings. Her father probably did not see her after she left the Craig, probably from 1944 on. Joe probably did not see her. And then he had a stroke in 1961. He certainly didn't see her after that. And Rose didn't see her for 20 years at least. So she finally went to visit Rosemary after Jack had been elected president and after Joe had had his stroke. So it is just stunning that this happened. Fortunately, after Joe died in 1969, Rose started visiting Rosemary more frequently and then had her come and visit in Hyannisport and in Palm Beach. And Rosemary got to know more of her nieces and nephews and develop relationships with them.
One of the things you point out in the book, and I find this fascinating too, is that the Kennedys, but especially Rose, was a devout Catholic. How did this test her faith?
I think other people have written about this too, but when I was doing this book, I was astounded at the resilience that Rose had to survive all these tragedies. And it was that deep well of faith that she carried with her, and it fortified her over the years. I also think that reliance on her faith in a way kept her a little bit distant from her children. She turned to her faith rather than being inclusive with the family and working with the family to work through these traumas and tragedies. And so it's like a double-edged sword for her. She turned to the church rather than her family when she needed to do that for them and for herself. And I think Patrick Kennedy sort of speaks to this, that his father, Teddy, went through all these tragedies, and he talks about the assassination of the brothers, Jack and then Bobby.
Right.
But I point to the tragedies that begin with Rosemary disappearing from the family, and then Joe Jr. dying, then Kick dying, and then the brothers' assassinations. But no one ever talked about all that, all those tragedies. And Rose didn't talk about them. She kept it to herself. She went to church and she prayed. And that didn't help her children and her grandchildren cope with these tragedies.
The book is fascinating. It is Rosemary, the Hidden Kennedy Daughter. It is published by Houghton Mifflin Harcourt. Kate Clifford Larson, thank you so much for spending time with us this morning and sharing the story. I appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
A great pleasure. Thank you. Again, the name of the book is Rosemary, the Hidden Kennedy Daughter. It is published by Houghton Mifflin Harcourt. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.